Welcome to the Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore. It is Monday, October the 4th, 2021. On this edition of the Politocrat, social media. How much time do you spend on it? And when it goes down, as it did today, what do you do? What is your plan B? We'll be talking about that right after this. Welcome back. So how will you be on this Monday? Well, dear listener, I hope you're well. And this brand new week, I hope, brings you something really good, something positive, something life-affirming. I know that life is not a straight line. And I know that things do have bumps and creases in them, and I get it. You know, I mean, I don't know if what I'm saying makes any sense. In fact, I'm not even sure it makes sense. So. But that's what Mondays do. And this Monday certainly did. And I want to just say, be well, please. And make sure that you get your flu shot. This is flu season, dear listener. And you know, as well as I do, that this is the time of year where the colds and the flu are just a massive thing. And they go on now. I mean, the flu season goes on, what, until April? So, my goodness, we've got to hunker down here. Well, don't have to hunker down, but we have to just be aware of what's going on around us. And that includes the flu. We are into flu season now. And a shot would be a good thing. Get your flu shot, please. It's free of charge. If you're here in the United States, I think it's free in a lot of countries, pretty much everywhere. But get your flu shot here in the United States. You can go to your local grocery store and get your flu shot. Go to your pharmacy, whether it's your Walgreens, whether it's your CVS here in the US. Those are just a couple of the places where you can go and get your flu shot. It literally is half a second and you're done. So, or of course, go to your health insurance provider and they'll do it. It's really quick and simple. And the earlier you do this, the better. So please, dear listener, if you haven't got your flu shot yet, go on, do it. And don't forget also to get fully vaccinated. The time is now. If you have not yet been fully vaccinated from COVID-19, please do so. Booster shots will start to become available for people who I think are 65 and older, and that they're already available. So make sure you do that. And as it goes, you're supposed to have your booster shot exactly, or 6 months, at least 6 months after your second shot that you got when you got vaccinated. It's in the case of Johnson & Johnson, you only need one shot. So it's just 6 months after that shot if you're a Johnson & Johnson person, if you will. If you're a Moderna or Pfizer person, it's 6 months after your second shot. Now, again, as far as I know, Pfizer's the only company. Well, Moderna actually is now too, because I've seen accounts of that booster shot being given for Moderna as well. But I don't think that Moderna's been FDA approved yet. I'm not 100% sure on any of what I've just said the last 3 seconds. So I will say that you can definitely get your booster shot from Pfizer if you are 65 or older or have immunodeficiency, if you will, I don't even like to use the word deficiency, but, you know, if you have problems with your immune system, let's put it that way, and you fit that bracket, then you also can get your booster shot. Just some healthcare housekeeping, for lack of a better terminology, as we go through here, as we get through and start to go through this flu season. Hoping you're well. And look, all of that is to get to this, which is your online time. As you know, throughout this year, I've done episodes about social media and about your social media identity. I did that way back at the beginning of the year, back on January the 2nd of 2021. This year I did that. I remember that still very clearly when I asked you, what is your online persona like? Is it like your offline persona? Listen to me, offline. Is it like your real life persona? Because online is kind of real life, but it's kind of, I mean, real life things get discussed and people have real life stories to tell. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to sugarcoat or trivialize. But, you know, come on. It's a virtual. It's virtual. But it's real virtual. I don't know. But, you know, what I'm trying to say is your persona online, is it the same as your demeanor offline? That's what I was trying to say. And that's what I asked you back on January 2nd, 2021, way back. You know, it's just over, 9 months and 2 days ago that I posed that question. My goodness me. See how much time has gone? How much time has flown by as we are in the final 3 months of the year? So that's what I asked. And this episode's kind of not like that, but kind of is like that. And it's about, how do you spend your time? Because I've talked about this before about social media. I think if you're spending more than 2 hours in a given day on social media, that is too much time. That's what I think. Now, look, it varies. Some people have to be online because that's their job. They've got to be on social media. That's part of who what their job description is, you know, news gathering. And I know some people use social media for that, but it's not always the most reliable, even though there's some really good news organizations on there. Reuters is a good news organization. Associated Press is a good news organization. Free Speech TV has a really important media. C-SPAN. Now, those places I just mentioned, I think, are the place I'd like you to watch C-SPAN more often. It's very important. Very important. C-SPAN and C-SPAN.org. There is also an app you can download called C-SPAN Now. So you don't even have to be a subscriber to cable. You can just download that app. And you don't need, I don't think you need a cable subscription at all. So you can download that app for when you're on the go. You can watch what's going on here in the United States in politics, in terms of the House, the Senate, hearings that go on in Congress, and all kinds of live events, speeches, et cetera, discussions. C-SPAN, to me, is the best media out here, really. And along with Free Speech TV, which discusses a lot of the issues that you don't see anywhere on television. Blavity.com, black-owned, and it truly is black-owned news media, I think is very good as well. You can certainly look at that. I think those are very, very important places to go. Joe Madison, the Black Eagle, discusses some very important issues as well on Sirius XM channel 126. Very important. Also, Roland Martin has unveiled Black Star Media, which also is black-owned media that deals with issues of the day, issues affecting the black community, but also issues that you really need to know. I shouldn't say but. Issues you need to know. So these are some media places that I think people really need to go to. I really do. I don't, for the rest, I mean, people are going to read the LA Times, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. And I think the Journal actually is quite good. The editorial page is horrendous. But they've got some good articles in there. Times does as well. Look, I've criticized all of these newspapers. LA Times also have Listen, I am not a fan of the corporate news media, particularly the corporate cable news media. Because, I mean, I just think that they dumb down the discourse. Yes, there are some people on there who are say some important things. I don't watch it now, but when I used to watch it, there are some decent people who do really do the work and do really good and important stories and say some important things that need to be said. But most of the rest of it, it's just a brain drain, mate. It's just not worth your while. At least I don't think so. And you can live without it. But can you live without social media? Can you? I mean, I think I could. But how do you feel about it? Could you live without social media? And let's say that social media, the social media that you use, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, let's say that that went down as it did today. I think all three of those went down. I was only on Twitter for a very, very short time today. I may have tweeted out maybe four things in fairly quick succession, and then I was done, you know. But I just want to know, what would you do if, and what did you do when these three platforms went down? I know Facebook and Instagram definitely went down. You know, I'm not sure, quite frankly, if Twitter went down or not today, but because I wasn't even on it, like I said, very much at all. I mean, anyway, that's, I don't even want to go into it so much, but I have, and I've said this before, I have certainly reduced the amount of time I've been on social media, not just because there's not only because I've got lots to do, as do you. I'm sure you've got lots of things you do. I'm not trying to say that, oh, I'm above this all. Someone's gonna say, oh, he just thinks he's above it all. No, I don't think that. Never have been that kind of an individual, you know, at all, at all. I think, you know, we've all got things that we do that I think take priority over social media, but social media in this day and age has taken on such an important part in many people's lives and our lives. We use it, we collectively, not necessarily you or necessarily me, but we collectively on this planet use social media as a support network. We use it as information gathering. We use it as entertainment sometimes. We use it as information points in terms of, oh, this event's taking place when? Oh. Or we use it as an organizing tool. But what did we do before social media? I mean, come on, those of you of a certain age, come on, we did things before social media. We picked up a phone, is what we did. We picked up a blooming phone. We spoke to each other, right? We did that. So now, oh no, don't call me, just text, it's okay. Why? Why are we doing that? Why are we allowing technology to shape our behavior? Because it has, hasn't it? Technology and social media have absolutely shaped our behavior. Right? I mean, the DM, right? The direct message, that's the equivalent of a phone call, isn't it? You pick up the phone, you call someone. It's just you and them when it was the days when you could only call one person and not patch in a second or third, right? That's a DM. That the DM is your phone call that you used to make in 1975 or in 1960 or in 1950 or in 1980 or even 1990, 1995, 2000, right? Before social media began to come in, 2004, 5, 6, Twitter, 2006, I think. And then we got all these other ones to follow, right? And now DMs. Everybody who's listening to this now, who's on social media and has a Twitter account, has used the DM function, direct message. Some people, many of us, say, no, we don't want DMs, right? Because those of you DMing are looking for sex, are looking for this, are looking for that. And women have made it very clear. No DMs, please. I mean, there's a woman, and I forget her name. One of her taglines on her Twitter account is, and I've resolved to try not to curse at all on this podcast anymore. And occasionally, I, you know, it slips out. But she says on her, I forget who this is, and I don't follow this person. And she says, what did she say? She said, no DMs, please. I don't want to F you. I think that's so cla- I think that's great. That's great. But that's, you know, those are the kinds of, look, there's all kinds of things, right? Remember those party lines in the 90s? Oh, call the party line. That's what the DM is now for some people, not for me. But that's what the DM is, right? People use it for that, but the whole my whole point is it's not about the sex or anything like that. My whole point is these platforms went down today. Certainly Facebook and Instagram did, if not Twitter. What on earth is going on? And what do you do? What did you do? If you're an avid Facebook person, Facebook is disgusting. And I really don't use it. I've put the podcast that I do on there. But I really don't do very many updates on there. And I am actually contemplating saying kaput to it. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. Facebook is just really disgusting. It really is. And there's no reason why, quite frankly, I should be on there. And I, as I say, I don't even really use it at all. The last time I looked on Facebook, I didn't even use it. I just looked. The last time I looked was 2 months ago. So it's at least. So, and that might not be long for some people, but it might be an eternity for others. But the whole thing is, what did you do? What did you do? Did you go through withdrawal symptoms for the time that Facebook and Instagram are out today? How did you deal with that? And what did you do? What did you do with your time? Did you take a walk? Maybe you were out already. Did you do something else? Did you communicate with people through the telephone? You know, your cell phone? Did you do some work of some kind? Did you get some exercise? What did you do when Facebook and Instagram were down? Both of them Mark Zuckerberg's companies. What did you do? And that's the thing. Were you held hostage? Were you kind of frozen in time? Because these social media companies and these social media functions, they're taking over our lives. I really think so. I think a lot of people's lives, not maybe yours, not maybe mine, definitely not mine. And I would guess not yours, dear listener, but I would ask you, if you are someone who finds yourself on social media on a daily basis, on more than a daily basis, I really would love to know from you. What do you do when Facebook goes down, Instagram goes down, or Twitter for that matter? What do? Do you feel this pang of, oh no, oh no, I can't be on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. I don't know what to do now. Does that run through your mind or part of your mind? Or do you have more than enough things going on in your life to occupy your time? And so therefore, oh, social media down. I'll just go do something else. Sorry for the sound effect. That sounded a little bit too genuine, too real. But it's monitoring our behavior. But you know what? Nobody's monitoring or regulating social media. And by the way, I think these companies need to be regulated. I mean, these things are like blooming utility. This is like PG&E here in California. Oh God, PG&E is disgusting. Pacific Gas and Electric, for those of you who do not know what PG&E stand for. I got to tell you, PG&E, they are a bunch of gangsters and thugs. And they've been found guilty of committing crimes and killings and negligence and people dying from the fact that this utility company has been disgusting. And where's the regulation of it? Where is it? It's just horrible what PG&E, and they need to be broken up and discarded. And I want to see Gavin Newsom, the governor of this state here in California, do that. I would like to see that. I would like to see this happen. This is horrible what's going on. The state legislature needs to do something. Get these companies like PG&E out of our lives. Oh, dear. I don't even want to go in. I can go on about that for another half hour, which I won't. But I think that these social media companies are kind of the same way. You know, the other thing is they don't charge you anything. But that's coming. I mean, there's a Twitter thing called Twitter Now or whatever. I think they were experimenting. I think they're still doing it, where they're charging people money. Oh, don't worry, you'll still get the same kind of thing. This is just extra. It's going there. They're going to start charging. I mean, they are doing it on Twitter Now, whatever that's called. I don't know how successful that's been. It may just be a little trial run. Everything starts out as a trial run, a trial balloon, right? Dangerous. Speaking, you know, talking about fascism and Ruth Ben-Ghia has talked about this a lot. And I've had her on this podcast as well with her book, Strong Men. And she's talked about this on her Twitter account. You should follow her, Ruth Ben-Ghia, G-H-I-A-T. And she talks about these trial balloons that get thrown out there for people to react to, but yeah, maybe they're not going to do it. Maybe they are, but it's already out there. And they really want to do the thing that they throw the trial balloon out there for and see how long it lasts. Does it burst immediately? But or does it just keep floating? And even though it may burst immediately, it's out there. It's out there. And they just want to see how you react. And they just want to float it. But they really want to do it and get everybody talking on Twitter and everywhere else, right? On TV programs. I mean, do you revert to TV, by the way? I mean, what do you do with your life once social media is down? If social media went extinct tomorrow, how would you deal with that? Would you be able to find fulfilling things to do in your life? Or would you go, oh no, I can't communicate with people anymore? Surely you would have some communication outlet, but maybe not. There are millions of people who use social media who don't, right? And it's their only form. And again, I hope I'm not sounding, well, whatever I sound like. I'm just trying not to, because that's not how, it doesn't matter how. Again, I always say it's not about intent, it's about what you do. And I mean, what I say is from the heart. I think you know that by now. And it's just out there. So I'm going to just say what I'm going to say here. And I don't know how it's going to be received by you, dear listener. But do you have an outlet beyond social media? Do you have people, friends, family, loved ones that you reach out to? I'm sure the answer is yes. But maybe sometimes those friends, family members, spouse, whomever, may not be very receptive to you the way that people on social media might be. So you might start to use social media as a family, as a network, as a extended family. And a lot of people do, many millions of people do. And it's not a real family as in, oh my goodness, they're right here next to me. But it is a virtual family, and you may or may not meet the people that you have this connection with online. And a lot of people have met people on Twitter. I mean, for example, I've met maybe two people in all the years I've been on Twitter. I've met two people in real life. And, well, one of them was very, very decent. The other person was an absolute train wreck. And God, I shouldn't be saying that, but it's the truth, you know? And I don't know what your experiences have been, with people you've met on social media in real life, people on social media, you know? And then there's people I'd known before that who happened to be on social media. And it's not changed them one bit. I mean, as I kind of go through a stream of consciousness here, has social media changed who you are as a human being? Has it changed who you are as a person? Social media? And I guess the answer to that, and really it's something for you to think about, dear listener, I would imagine the answer depends upon how long you spend on social media. Has social media left you or made you more impatient or less? Less patient, more patient. I don't know if it leaves you more patient. It's likely to make you more of an impatient person, isn't it? Not impatient as in the two words I-N and patient. I'm talking about I-M as in mountain, impatient person. I want you to consider that for a moment. Has technology and social media made you and shaped your brain, shaped you as a person to be more patient, less patient, or just about the same? Welcome back. So I wonder, dear listener, if you gave any thought to what I said there just before the break about, you know, what do you find yourself doing when these companies go down and then social media companies go down and their product goes down? And does it make you, and does social media make you a more impatient person? Or do you find yourself being more patient? Do you find yourself being just the same? Social media is, you know, the first thing a lot of people do is wake up, go to social media. You know? I used to do that at times, but, you know, especially during the previous administration, the criminal administration that was, because you never knew, but you don't do that so much now. Don't do that at all, really, now at all. And then, plus there's, you know, so much going on. But I guess my point is here that social media does dictate behavior. Online, it dictates behavior. And it influences things offline too, I think. And for people who suffer from chronic depression, I mean serious bouts of depression, I wonder if social media, and I don't know if this applies to you, dear listener, but I wonder if social media on, you know, pushes that even more. Does social media increase the depression, or does social media just compound it in some way? Same kind of thing. Or is it not a factor? Because, I mean, depression is a really separate and distinct and discrete, and discrete not meaning discrete, but discrete meaning discrete, right? It's a very clear entity by itself, right? This is extremely serious. This is serious, right? Depression is not, oh, I just don't feel great today. Depression is really a chemical situation, right? Where a human being is not feeling right, right? Because of all of these other things going on, these chemical things going on in inside them. Right? And it affects mood. It affects everything. This is really deep and serious stuff. And I'm just wondering if people who suffer from severe bouts of depression and happen to be on social, well, they may not be on social media then. I don't know. I see I'm making generalizations that I shouldn't be making. Well, I'm just saying, let's say that you may be clinically depressed and you use social media to, for whatever reasons, right? Does social media compound your condition? Does it add to it? Does it not? I mean, it's such an awkward question to ask because I've not experienced chronic depression. So I really perhaps may not be the best person to even be asking the question. But I do want to raise it. I don't think that disqualifies me from at least raising the question and trying to grapple with the question. I don't want to pretend that I have the answers, that's for sure, because I do not. And, I mean, nobody does, really. You know, it's not like there's a cure for depression. But I don't know that social media is that cure. If people were looking for a cure for something that deals with, that is about mental health and something very serious like this, social media, to me, would not be the place you'd go for it. Now, some people who are clinically depressed, the people who are may disagree with what I've just said. But I do not think that if you want to, I don't know. I just don't think so. But what do I know? Like I said, I'm not someone that falls into that category. However, as I said earlier, social media provides important support networks for people. And so therefore, it may be very beneficial for someone who is in the category of being clinically depressed. Maybe it is something that helps. And I would imagine it does help for some people. But to go back to really the original question, when social media goes down, what do? How do you occupy your time? These companies, I think, need to be regulated. That's what I was just beginning to say, I think, toward the end of that last block. I think these companies need to be regulated. I think they're running out of control. They've got too much power. They influence too much. They're extremely powerful. I mean, then you've got search engine companies like Google. Then you've got consumer ripoff companies like Amazon. And people think that they're not a ripoff because they charge very, very inexpensive prices. But by the way, look at what's going on to get those prices. Look at how many people are being exploited, right, to get those prices and the human rights abuses. Really? I don't feel very clean buying from Amazon because I don't buy from them anymore. So, I mean, bully for me. Yay! I'm showing off because I had to buy from Amazon. I'm not kind of showing off. I kind of am not, but I am in a way, kind of. Oh, yay me. But seriously, Amazon is poison. Look, dear listener, if you buy from Amazon, you buy from Amazon. I'm not going to sit here and judge your spending habits. Just like, I wouldn't want you to do likewise to moi. But I am saying that everybody knows that Amazon is a piece of crap company. Everybody knows that. It's a trillionaire piece of crap company, but it's still a piece of crap. A piece of crap company. It is. I don't care how much money it brings in. And then look at the people it exploits to do it. Look at what they do. And look at how many people they put out of business to do it. Look at how many mom and pop stores go bust because of Amazon. Look at how many less choices you have because of Amazon. Get my drift? Capiche? D'accord? So, I mean, it's, again, I don't like Amazon, put it that way. That's me. I don't like, just me. That's me. One human being in a planet of what, 8 billion, 9 billion? I've lost count. But if you are someone that shops on Amazon, all these companies that really have so much power and people who just do some really disgusting things to other human beings so that you can get your product in 1 hour. It's like, really? But that's what happens, dear listener. And I don't know if you are a purchaser of Amazon, at Amazon. I don't know if you feel guilty about that or not. Maybe you do, maybe you don't, right? And again, I'm not trying to judge. I'm simply saying that all of these companies, there needs to be some kind of regulation. And on social media, oh my goodness me, Facebook, they're disgusting. There was a report, by the way, about 2 weeks ago that came out about Facebook knowing, Mark Zuckerberg in particular, knowing that Instagram was a place that made the lives of young girls hell, of girls and women hell, especially younger women and girls, made their lives hell. Just the disgusting things. And again, I've said this before to you, dear listener, a lot of these photos on Instagram are fake, particularly of women. Some of the men as well, but mostly overwhelmingly women. All these, what they do to these photos, they touch them up. And like some of the women that you see on Instagram in photos, they're genuinely real. And I think I can tell, well, listen to me, the male arrogance in me, right? Or just, it's not even about the male, the arrogance, right? The presumptuousness in yours truly to tell what's real and what's fake. Now, I am not going there where you think I'm going to go, but I'm not going there because that's not where I want to go. Some of you listening may want me to go there. I do not want to go there because that's not where I want to go. And I'm not being as cryptic as you might think. But bear with me now, dear listener, because a lot of these photographs, and I have stopped, and look, I use Instagram. I don't use it as much as I used to. Again, I've tried to really dial down over the last few months, dial down my use of all of these platforms. And I think I'm succeeding in doing that. I mean, and again, it's nothing to, it's not, and it's just to start doing that more. I don't think I ever spent a whole inordinate, there were days, of course, where I spent a load of time on Twitter, but I also have other things I do. And like you, there's lots of things to be done. You have lots of things to do. And then lots of people on Twitter who have lots of work to do. I'm not trying to say that there are people who aren't busy with other things in their lives. Of course they are. They've got lots of things going on, right? Lots of issues, lots of things, lots of different things to be dealing with. And sometimes the social media is their escape valve, so they spend 5 hours on it. but I'm not judging. No, I'm not judging. But anyhow. The game plan, right, is what are you doing if you're not on social media? I don't necessarily want to know your specific answer, but I'm just saying social media has taken up so many people's lives. It has arguably taken their lives too, right? You have Facebook. You have people who've ended their lives because you've had bullying online. You've had social media places like Facebook and Instagram that facilitate this, that end up, you know, having young girls self-harming, taking their lives because of these ridiculous photos. And I'm not indicting the girls who do this or the young women, the younger female population. That's what I should say. I shouldn't say young girls. Girls are girls, right? And women are women. So the female population, be they younger or not, and mostly younger of the female set, if you will. Again, I just have to try to get the terminology right. You would think an older man like myself would be able to. I mean, how come that is not the issue when it comes to boys and men? How come I don't have any crises saying boys or men, but somehow young girls, women, you know, I've got to investigate that. Just on the side note, oh, you think too much. No, I don't. This is not about thinking too much. There's no such thing. It's about stretching your brain and trying to use more than 3 or 4% of it. That's what it's about. To use more than 8% of your brain. It's not about, I really reject that phrase, overthinking. And you know, if you listen to this podcast many times, I know some of you have. I say that quite a bit here. Overthinking, there's no such thing as overthinking. I really don't think so. We aren't thinking enough, in my view. We are not cerebral enough. And we are in a society that shuns thinking and shuns being cerebral and shuns being intellectual. You know, there's lots of intellectuals in the country. I'm not saying that, or in a world, lots of them, right? But in the culture demonizes being intellectual, right? We know that. The movies, because of the movies that we get thrown at us. Dumb and Dumber, Beavis and Butthead. That actually was a movie too, but after it was on MTV, it became a movie. I think they did two movies. Weekend at Bernie's. Championing all this anti-intellectualism. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Some of these movies are actually funny and quite amusing and decent. I thought Weekend at Bernie's actually was quite funny, quite good. So it was the first Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Look, that was actually quite funny. But these are all vacuous movies, right? Usually white men doing really foolish, stupid things. I mean, even the stuff that Will Ferrell does, as funny as he can be, it belongs to that same model, right? Not to say that you can't have fun and laugh, of course, but there's lots of different ways to laugh, and some people don't like that kind of comedy. And I mean, I can put up with it for a few minutes. I mean, come on. But it's just, generally speaking, after you've had about 10 minutes of that, 5-10 minutes, you're out, aren't you? I mean, Will Ferrell I think there have been some films Will Ferrell's done that I think have been really good. And he's done some dramatic films that I think he's been very good in. I think he's a better dramatic actor than he is a comedic one. But anyway, that's me drifting off into another realm that this podcast episode is not about. So it goes. But let me steer you back, dear listener, to this moment of social media. Because as I've said before, I think social media is doing a lot more harm than good. I think there's an important things about it that are positive. Meeting, organizing, I think it's a great organizing tool. I think it's a good awareness tool. I think it is a good tool where, I mean, for some people, support networking. I am not a fan necessarily of, I'm not a fan of, you know, people really share so much on social media that's personal. And I am not, listen, if someone's passed away, I will send condolences. And I think that's, yeah, that's fine. I just personally, I said this before, I would not be sharing those kinds of things on social media. Honestly, those are, but everybody's different. I just don't think that that's something that should belongs to all, you know, followers, people I don't even know. You know, I don't know. That's just me. Old fashioned. Why don't you want to share that? Do you have something to hide? It's like, it's not about whether you have something to hide or not. It's about what is your value system and what kind of person are you? And where is your support network? Because your support network may be online, it may be offline. And I don't think that my support network is on Twitter or on Facebook or on Instagram. It's the people outside in real actual life, right? That's your support network. At least that's mine. But yours might be both. Right? And I just think that there's so much oversharing. And that's what the social media has done too. And I've talked about this before. It promulgates. It just brings about this oversharing of things. And you want to talk about, I said there's no such thing as overthinking. There isn't. There is such a thing as oversharing. There is such a thing. And let me change it to sharing, bearing your soul. Now look, if you're comfortable with that, fine. I don't mind reading some of the tweets about that, but some of the other tweets I read about things like that, I do wonder. I mean, and then as a society, I think, oh, I know, I sound like a snob right now, don't I? Looking down my nose at what other people do on social media. But I do, I mean, sometimes some of the things you read, though, come on, dear listener, some of the things you read on social media, and in the back of my mind, at least, because I will speak for me, I think, whoa, that's way TMI, too much information. But there you go. I mean, soon you'll have people, oh gosh, dare I say it, taking, no, I'm not going to even go there. I'm not going there. I mean, that's probably online already anyway. I'm not even going there. But this is, you know, and I get it. Content is monetized. So people will do all kinds of things. And it's monetized on Twitter. And I'm sure it's monetized everywhere else. And the question becomes, how much are people willing to do to get money in their pockets in this day and age, where you've got an economy that is rebounding but very shaky for most people, the vast majority of us, right? It's never in danger for people who are billionaires and trillionaires. But for the rest of us, ooh, Nelly, right? And, you know, debt ceiling and all this, which I'll get to later on this week. I'll be talking about that a bit more. Well, I talked about it actually last week or the week before about the debt ceiling. So I don't know if I'll get to that again this week, but I don't know. This is something, you know. Are you defined by your, again, it goes back to what I asked in January. Are you defined by your social media presence? Does your social media presence define you as a human being? Do you define yourself by the number of people who follow you on Twitter? Do you define yourself by the number of likes and retweets you get on Twitter? Do you define yourself by the number of people who follow you on Instagram, like your page on Facebook? Do you do that? I mean, because as I've said before, and I'll borrow James Baldwin here again, numbers do not define you. Well, James Baldwin didn't say this, as far as I know. I'm saying this. I've said this before, myself, from me. Numbers do not define you. Numbers do not define you. Now, your paycheck, ooh, yeah, that's good. That's fine. That's another story, right? Those numbers, ooh, you like those numbers. Or maybe you don't, depending on the kind of wage you might make. But even that number does not stand alone. It reflects your work, right? Or maybe it doesn't. Maybe it doesn't. Omar, you caught yourself. You caught yourself right mid-sentence. Because there isn't equal pay for equal work in this country, is there? At least not beyond the federal level, there's not. There's not equal pay for equal work. So the dollar signs or the numbers that come after that dollar sign may not reflect the kind of work you do, right? But aside from a situation with paychecks, as James Baldwin said, you don't need numbers, you need passion. And that is true of the history of the world. And he's absolutely right. He was always right about this, dear Mr. Jimmy Baldwin. I love you, man. You know, damn, it's too bad you're no longer with us. But you are always with us in spirit. You don't need numbers. You need passion. And that is so true. Think about it. Numbers don't define you. They don't. The number of followers you have on a social media platform do not define you as a human being. And it's too bad that so many people actually do believe that it does define them as a human being. And they do all these things to get attention. I'm not even going to go to age groups because I don't think this isn't even an age-specific thing. Where obviously with probably in your mind, you're probably thinking, oh, the younger set. But I'm not. I'm talking about anybody. Right? You have to do this to get this number of followers. And you got prestigious or well-known personalities on Twitter going, help me get to this number of followers. Help me get to that number of followers. And I'm like, what? Does it really have to be that way? We're begging for followers. I guess there's money involved in that too, but I don't know. Why? I thank people. If I get to a certain stage, I say thank you. But I don't help me get to five. Good grief. It's like, my goodness me. Why don't we help people on the African continent? Why don't we help people here in the United States have get homes, get roofs over their heads? Help me get people to be, you know, God, that was so awkward. Let me start again. Instead of help me get X amount of followers, why not help me contribute to helping people in Haiti. Help me contribute to getting people homes here in the United States. Help me contribute to ending child poverty. Help me, I can go on and on. Help me. You know what I mean? And I'm not talking help me Rhonda, help me Rhonda here from the Beach Boys. I'm talking help me, right? Help me. We are always asking for help for something. And people online say, help me get to X amount of followers. And I'm like, what? Really? Again, I repeat myself. Why? Help me get to this amount of followers. And not help me get to fund and help someone who's just had their child murdered by some cop here in the US. And not help me get money for bailing out someone who has been arrested for something she didn't do. I mean, maybe you do both. Maybe you say, help me get to this amount of followers, and you do that. But I doubt it. You generally, I'm not talking about you, dear listener. But come on. But that's the culture we're in now. Me. Well, that's been the case forever in this. We've always had a very individualistic and selfish streak. And it's not just a streak, it's an actual cultural thing. You know? Always very binary, love it or leave it. Live free or die. One or the other. You can't do both. Well, you can't live free and die, can you? Well, but listen, this is what's happened. This culture, the United States culture, the American culture, has always had a very individualistic libertarian streak in it. Very much so, mentality. And social media, wow, into the void does it step. And man, oh man, it just brings out all of that again and again. It was always there. It's always been there. Social media is something that needs to have some clamps on it somewhere. And I did say clamps, right? It needs to. And it really, I think, does dictate a lot of some people's behavior. It influences it. And it's like a drug. And if you find that it's a drug and you're addicted to it, it's a drug. It's a drug. If you find that you're addicted to something, it's like a drug. Dopamine. The chemical reaction. You can't have enough of it. You gotta go there the first second you wake up. And you get withdrawals when it goes down. And that's why I asked you earlier. Do you get withdrawal symptoms when the thing goes down? When the media platform goes down? Let me be clear about that. Right? Do you get withdrawal symptoms? Seriously, I'm asking. Are you like a junkie needing a fix on social media? Or are you able to dispense with the liquid crack and not worry about it when it goes down like the Titanic, as it did today? Are you okay with it? Can you live without social media? That's my real question. Can you live without social media? Can you function without social media? I know what my answers are to those questions. What are your answers to those questions? Thank you very much for listening to this edition of The Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore.